Hi, this is Brad Bloom with Faith and Fitness Magazine. We're speaking today with Reverend Jermaine Alberti from PathwaysToPromise.org and his son, Jeremiah Alberti. Pathways to Promise is a nonprofit organization organized in Missouri with a national presence. They create welcoming environments for persons with mental illness and those who care for them. Reverend Alberti, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.
And Jeremiah, glad you were able to join us as well.
Great to be here as well.
Reverend Alberti, go ahead and just give us the overview of what your organization does, how it began.
Pathways began in 1988 with a group of different Christian denominations and other organizations that came together to create a community that would provide resources for those congregations to help persons with mental illness and their families. And so it came about to simply be a support to these different denominations to provide pamphlets and litanies and sermon starters. And so it was all designed to help increase mental health awareness of congregations and to reduce stigma. And we still hold true to that mission today.
What are the give us just a real I mean, there's probably so many things that fall under the umbrella of mental illness, but identify a few of those, and why do you think people don't really understand just how prevalent it may be in culture today in society?
Yeah, I think one of the key things that people tend to do is they get really twitchy when it comes down to the idea of the word mental illness because of the stigma that's attached to that phrase. And mental illness can include things like persons experiencing severe depression or post-traumatic stress disorder or anxiety disorders or even illnesses that have psychosis attached to it. And then the greatest stigma attached to it often is persons who experience addictions when they have a substance use challenge. And so what I've done is try my best to destigmatize the word mental illness and simply say, we all experience challenges to our mental health like we do to our physical health. And I think by simply saying, just like you can physically get sick, your brain can become sick. And so just like we would take any other physical health challenge and tend to it, the same should be true with any mental health challenge.
I'm curious, especially in the advent of social media, and the prevalence of internet in connections and perhaps now our greater lack of connecting with people face to face and in earnest, do you think there's a tendency by people to maybe be offended or just to be dismissive, to have attitudes where they just sort of totally miss the opportunity, realize, they're not aware of what a person's need is because they're reading somebody wrong?
I really think that although we have all these ways to be connected through social media, we're actually becoming more disconnected in just the everyday interaction with each other. I purposely, on the elevator, say hello to people, and it startles them because people are not used to just being said hello. People typically are plugged in with their different devices, and so I make a point just to say hello, how's it going, how's your day, just to continue that human connection with the other person. But I think if you saw somebody crying or you saw somebody in some kind of form of distress, you might be nervous and, so how do I approach that person? What do I do? And I think sometimes it's just having that courage to engage a person and simply saying, are you okay? And just by asking that simple question, are you okay, it could spur a conversation that could cause you to come to that person's aid in some kind of way.
So let's take that one step further. You say hello to somebody on the elevator or while you're walking into a store or wherever, at the gas pump, whatever it might be. And somehow or another, you get to the next question of, are you okay? And heaven forbid they say, no, I'm not. you know, this is like the horror moment that people, oh gosh, what do I do now? What do they do next?
It depends on the circumstance. So for instance, if that person says, you know, I just want to kill myself. You know, my husband divorced me, my kids at this, or, I mean, they just go into a whole litany of things that they are experiencing. And they go, I just want to kill myself. That's the power of knowing a simple number, 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And so just by having that awareness of that one telephone number, no longer do you have to somehow be the expert. What you've done is created a warm handoff by saying, hey, can I call this number on my cell phone? I'll stand with you while you talk with them. And then those experts on that telephone line take the next step. But sometimes people are just not equipped to know who do I call or what do I do in order to help that person. But sometimes just extending your ear to listen to that person could be the greatest thing that they have encountered that whole day.
Yeah. So we just need to be a little emboldened, maybe have faith that God's going to help us through that moment to not just be a total failure or cave or whatever it might be, that we'll be able to get through it and at least, at the very least, listen to somebody.
Yeah, you know, I wrote an article, and in this article, one of the quotes that I pulled from some research was that 2 in 5 Americans sometimes or always feel that their relationships are not meaningful. That's 43%. And then what was really interesting was that they are isolated from others. So these 43% of people, 2 in 5, are isolated from other people. Also, a really just important stat was that research also showed that only around half of Americans, 53% of those, have a meaningful in-person social interaction with a person. So, I mean, 53% of people are not having those meaningful social interactions, just like a conversation with somebody or spending quality time with somebody. And so I think that I love this article idea about how fit is your mind, because if we're not able to have that socialization one with the other, then we're often by ourselves, isolated, alone, suffering, and distressed. And unless somebody asks that simple question, like, are you okay? You know, how are you doing? And people may stay that way. And so I think that it's so important that we reach out and we help people.
Well, I want to get to Jeremiah here in just a minute and talk about some of the fitness side of things. But I want to ask you one more question before we do that, and that is, let's talk about the church for just a moment. I think a lot of times people think, oh, hey, I go to church or my friends go to church, therefore everybody's okay. But quite honestly, at least several of the churches that I visit, I think it's probably pretty accurate for quite a few churches out there. People walk in, they do the show, so to speak, and they leave. And there may not be a whole lot of social interaction or opportunity for people to get that need addressed. What could the church do? What are some tips the church can do just for starters?
Well, I created a intervention technique that I think would be helpful for any congregation, and it's called HELP. And I've attached some scriptures to it, and they may find it very helpful. And so James 1:19 says for us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and that's just the first part of that. And so I think it's when somebody is, you know, you say, good morning, how are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm fine. Really hear what that person is saying. And so be quick to hear what they're saying, and then take that in and slow to respond versus just going, okay, God bless you, and just keep moving. Take a moment to hear what that person actually has said. And I love the ideal of spotting, being spotters for one another, because the E in this ideal of HELP stands for engaging person. And I love how Galatians 6:2 says we are to bear each other's burdens. And so when somebody comes to you and they just like throw that on you, that heaviness on you and you're like, I didn't want to hear that, we're called to bear each other's burdens. And so churches can hear each other, then engage each other. But then the L in this stands for to learn and love. And I love the ideal that Jesus said, you want to do the right thing? You want to know what the great commandment is? Love God and love your neighbor. And so if we can just do that, like show our love for God to our neighbors, that's one way the church can also help. But the last thing, and I love acronyms, by the way, the last thing is we want to plan with each other. I love Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so coming together with a plan of how we can walk together. And that's where pathways come into play. We have a training program called Companionship. We offer mental health first aid. We offer all these different trainings to equip folks to be present for people who may be in distress or who may be isolated. And it's those kind of things that I use to help my son when he was in distress and when he was experiencing depression. And all those things came together as a father, as a minister, to help him out when I saw him in distress.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like what you say about the listening part. And I tell you, it wasn't too long ago at the beginning of the year that our church had just a time of prayer, you know, like 7 days of prayer. And it was kind of awkward for people, quite honestly, to instead of having the preacher delivering 100% and the worship band and everything, to have these periods of just quietness to listen. So I think that's a really good point, is we need to find ways in the church to engage the listening aspect more. Well, Jeremiah, a lot of Faith and Fitness magazine readers, they go to a gym, group exercise, they're part of a group that does some sort of a sport on a regular basis, and they often think, hey, this is the group of fit and active people, the people that are committed to really living a healthy lifestyle, therefore there couldn't possibly be anybody here that is dealing with challenges, struggles, things that are, you know, heaven forbid, that they're actually thinking, you know, of suicide. But that's not the case. Tell me a little bit more about your story.
So my story entails a lot. I went through about just some rough patches. I went through a lot of bullying. So going to the gym was my outlet. That was how I just released all the anger, the stress, and just everything that I was feeling. And playing a sport in high school, it helped, because throughout the day I'd go through so much in school, dealing with people bullying me or just talking about me, or just life in general. Like dealing with things at home, just coming into school not ready for the day that I was like supposed to take on, and going to practice, I was able to release all that anger, that stress, because I was able to work out in a passionate way. Ball was a very big passion for me, and then working out became an even bigger passion for me because of the connection that I saw with how my emotions intertwined with how I was working out.
Did you go to a gym where you knew absolutely no one, or was it more of a, you had some friends going to one, and so that's the one you decided to go to? In other words, what was sort of the transition, the move into the fitness environment?
The fitness environment kind of captured me, really. In high school, I just worked out at school, so it was with all the people that was at school. It was with my football teammates, so like I had constant motivation just to get better, to make myself better, to just release all of it, honestly. And then when I went to the military, I was using the military gyms, and it was still that constant motivation. And so the gym really just grabbed me, because once I saw what I was able to do in the gym and saw the advantages of working out as much as I was working out, and just saw the growth of myself from working out, I saw my mind grow bigger from working out with certain aspects of my body, because I saw myself growing So I knew that I needed to grow my mind as much as I was growing my body. But the gym really grabbed me because of the fact that being in the gym, I released more emotions than I could by sitting at home drawing a picture or by sitting at home thinking about the problem that I, instead of going out and handling it with coping mechanisms.
So Jeremiah, tell me as much as you're able to, was there a period in your life where things got really severe, where you got hopeless or really frustrated or whatever those feelings might have been? Share a bit about that, if you will. And was that before, during, after the gym time? Sort of give us the ability to see how the fitness worked into that time where things were getting pretty rough for you.
So I can give you a pretty specific time. November of 2015, it's probably one of the worst months of my life in that specific time. I was still going through the gym pretty heavily. We were still pretty deep in our season for football. So, I mean, it was able to play a part to a certain extent. I was such in a dark place, dealing with home things, dealing with the bullying that was going on at school, just dealing with life in general, just the loss, the anger, just not really knowing how to accept my emotions and how to accept the fact that I was dealing with mental illnesses. And I ended up trying to take my life. So I saw the darkness. Yeah, for sure. It was just trying to get back to that light and having that support system that I had around me with my father, my family, just my coaches, the people that actually had belief in me and knew that I wasn't just someone who was going to be a failure or someone who didn't have the support around them to help them get better.
The guys that were working out with you at the gym during November 2015, did they have any clue? And sort of tell me a little bit about the interaction. Obviously, you felt that the fitness helped you to release anger, but I'm curious if there was any dialogue going on, or did everybody just have earbuds in their ears and, you know, they're basically high-fiving and, you know, loading on the weights and unloading it, and then they're on their way?
To some degree, it's a little bit of both. You can tell so much to someone, especially to people that you really don't have a relationship with. My teammates, we had relationships, but it wasn't on that deep of a relationship where I could just tell anybody how I was feeling. So I kind of wore a mask for a very long time, especially in high school, just because of the fact that I didn't want people asking questions, asking me if I was okay or if I needed help. And so being in that gym, I'd be high-fiving around, just dancing, having a good time, working out, getting my workout in. But in its own reality, I was doing that for myself so that I had to keep a charade for people to know that I was okay, but I wasn't okay. And
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me flip it. If you were to see some of you work out at what gym now, if you don't mind me asking?
I work out at the YMCA out here in Las Vegas.
So if you were working out at the Y, you go in tomorrow and you saw somebody, maybe they're younger, you know, or whatever the case, and you get the sense, hey, I think they got a little charade going on. They're looking good, but they're not good. There's something wrong. Do you have any ideas of how you might intervene, or what would be your next steps? What would you do? Just pray?
Honestly, my next step would be find a way to interact without it being as awkward as possible. Because, I mean, just walking up to somebody at the gym and just seeing some random guy come up to you while you're in the middle of a workout and he goes, are you okay? I think that would be pretty awkward. But me, I'd just find a way to react, or not necessarily react, but use my conversational skills that I have learned and using the things that I know today about mental health illnesses or about the struggles that people go through. I would use that somehow to connect my struggle to their struggle. And if they are going through something, just let them know that other people are there and have been going through some things too. and just use that to help them push through what they're going through, because not everybody goes through the same thing, but along the same like lines, people are going through a lot of the same things, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Have you, in the time that you've been at the gym, ever had an opportunity that I'll say God gave you to indeed just be a friend, or, you know, find some way to engage a person, and that ultimately led to them getting some help?
Honestly, I've dealt with a couple, actually. I've met a couple high school kids that are just struggling with the same things I was kind of struggling with in high school, getting bullied. There's a young male, I'm not sure his name. We just kind of had a quick conversation while we were playing basketball, but his coach kept telling him, stop shooting the ball. He's not a shooter just because he was tall. And I'm like, you play the way that you play, man. Like, if you can shoot threes, then I think you should go out and shoot threes. Don't let your coach just tell you that you shouldn't do this because he doesn't think that you're good at it. If you've proven that you can do it, then I think you should go out and do it. And he goes, man, it's just been getting me down. And I was like, this is the thing. You have to allow yourself to grow and learn from the things that people are saying, but you don't ever have to let that take over your and in a better way of saying it, you don't ever have to let anybody else's words give or take power over you.
Yeah.
And that's just how I kind of let that situation boil down, and the other ones were kind of the same. So it was just honestly just sitting down and listening to them and giving them someone to listen and talk to versus just someone that's talking to them.
That's great. Jeremiah, one last question for you. I've read posts before and spoken with people, you know, and they say, the gym is my medicine. That's my church. That's the, you know, if it wasn't for the gym, you know, I'd really be having problems. And certainly it's a great place to release, but there's that faith component that we believe really is the more significant thing. Can you just sort of share what your thoughts are? Is does the gym far outweigh the effectualness of the church, or what's your thoughts?
I think that the church is the church in and of itself is probably a huge important factor to me. So I would never say that the church isn't as helpful as the gym for me. I just say that my church is everywhere. I can praise God wherever. I can pray wherever. So my church isn't just bound to one area. I think that I could pray in the gym and it could still be some sort of temple for me, but it's not the church that I go to every morning and worship at. I mean, I just love the fact that church isn't something that is like bound to just one area.
Yeah. Well, very good. Reverend Alberti, let's talk about that here in the remaining couple of minutes that we have. For those people that say, I am the church, it's not a place, it's not an organization, it's me, it's God calling me to be a presence among others, and they start to recognize that there's people among them that have mental illness. In addition to those real basic steps that you suggested of, you know, just asking the question, how are you, and being willing to listen, are there some things that they can do to strengthen their skills, to become stronger and more capable of lifting the challenges and burdens that they may face as they start to engage with people?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I try my best to do is get my steps in. You know, my Apple Watch is going 10,000 steps. So, you know, I thought about that this morning as I was preparing for the interview, and I thought, what can people do in order to get their steps in order to help themselves? And here are just five things that I want to recommend people do. And the first thing is to share what they are experiencing, if it's a mental health challenge, with those who care. The second thing I would encourage them to do is to tell the truth. So what they actually are feeling, and not wear that mask that Jeremiah was talking about, but share with those who care and tell the truth. And then the E, I would tell them, that is to empty the trash bin. There's so much poison that we take in on a regular basis, and to find somebody to share that with and empty the trash bin. And then the P would be the pause for self-care. And I know that working out seems to be a form of self-care, but sometimes just reading a book, looking at the stars, going for a ride, that can all be things that can be self-care. And the last thing I would say would be to seek assistance. You know, don't hold it in. Seek assistance and get help. So if they can share with what they are experiencing with those who care, tell the truth, empty the trash bin, pause for self-care, and seek assistance, I think those five things could help anybody experiencing some kind of mental health challenge. And if they do those things, then I'm sure that there's somebody in their faith community, in their church, if they just open up, that the Spirit will hopefully connect with that other person and they can be light and salt to that person.
Can, in addition to churches contacting your organization, can gyms, particularly Christian-owned businesses that are doing fitness, contact you as well to find resources and ways to better reach the people that they're engaging with?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to be able to connect with any organization, gym, Christian-owned gym, that would like to say, hey, what kind of banners can we put up? What kind of flyers can we post that can provide help? You know, I would love to help persons with that. Because I think that the more we increase awareness, then people go to the bathroom and go, man, that sign is there. It says, if I'm suicidal, call this number. I mean, if they put that in the gym bathroom, that could help so many people. So I would love to hear from any fitness organization that wants to partner with us in a way to increase mental health literacy.
Well, that's great. Yeah, and I hope that they do contact you guys. Again, I've been speaking today with Reverend Jermaine Alberty and Jeremiah Alberty, his son, from the organization Pathways to Promise. Is it Pathways to Promise or Pathways to Promises?
Pathways to Promise.
Yeah, pathwaystopromise.org is the website. So check them out. Reverend Alberty and Jeremiah, thanks so much for your time today and for sharing this really encouraging word and insight for our readers.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. It's great to talk with you.
And Faith and Fitness Magazine readers, you can look for more podcasts and audio resources here in Faith and Fitness Magazine. Be sure to check out the February-March issue 2020 of Faith and Fitness Magazine. Our focus is all on mental health and determining how you can have a strong mind. Until next time, this is Brad Bloom with Faith and Fitness Magazine. Have a great day.